Imagine waking up as a ghost, unable to touch the world you once protected, forced to watch helplessly as everything you built crumbles without you. This is Harry Dresden's reality in Ghost Story, where death is just another complicated case to solve. After being shot in the chest and falling into Lake Michigan, Chicago's only professional wizard finds himself in a peculiar afterlife. Not heaven or hell, but a bureaucratic limbo where a detective named Carmichael informs him there's been an irregularity with his death. The solution? Return to Earth as a ghost and solve his own murder. Or three people he loves will suffer terribly. The catch? He'll have almost no magic and can't interact with the physical world. Welcome to Harry Dresden's most impossible case yet. Being dead might be the easiest part. The Chicago Harry returns to is barely recognizable. 6 months after his death, the supernatural power vacuum created by the destruction of the Red Court has drawn predators from every dark corner. His friends have formed a ragtag resistance, Murphy's living room now a war room, Butters wielding science against magic, and his former apprentice Molly transformed in disturbing ways. When Harry finally sees Murphy through ghostly eyes, the moment is devastating. Her gaze passes right through him. He's never felt more dead than in that moment. Only after Mortimer Lindquist, a reluctant medium, facilitates communication does Murphy begin to believe. Her hardened demeanor reveals how much his absence has cost her. The final proof comes when Mister, Harry's cat, rubs against his invisible form, animals being more perceptive to spirits than humans. The magical world has descended into chaos, with ancient enemies like the Formwar claiming territory, and Molly has become the Ragged Lady, a vigilante whose increasingly violent methods deeply concern Harry. Being dead comes with a peculiar learning curve. Sir Stuart Winchester, a colonial-era ghost who becomes Harry's guide, explains that spirits only fall through objects when they consciously think about it. Otherwise, deep-rooted assumptions about reality keep them solid. It's like learning to walk again, but with impossible rules. The true challenge is existential. Without a body, magic, or the ability to protect loved ones, who is Harry Dresden? When attempting to teleport across Chicago, he discovers he can only travel to places with strong emotional significance. His identity is defined by his connections and memories. Harry also discovers a ghost ecosystem. Wraiths feeding on memories, lemurs consuming spiritual energy, and powerful entities manipulating the dead. When three lemurs ambush him, tearing pieces of his spiritual flesh off to consume, he experiences profound helplessness. Only Bob the Skull Spirit, wielded by Butters, saves him from being devoured. Perhaps the cruelest rule is that sunlight destroys ghosts, forcing Harry to seek shelter in the most ironic place, his own grave. Molly's transformation is Harry's most heartbreaking discovery. His former apprentice now stalks Chicago as the Ragged Lady, a vigilante who leaves scraps of Harry's clothes in her victims' mouths, 17 murders so far. Harry finds her facing 20 armed supernatural creatures alone, training arranged by his fairy godmother. Molly's magical growth is stunning. She creates 6 convincing illusions simultaneously. But her mental state alarms Harry deeply. "You don't know what you did for this town," she tells him. "Creatures feared you, but now they're flooding into Chicago. I can't do what you did, Harry, but I can kill them. I can make the fuckers afraid." Her raw pain reveals the truth. She blames herself for his death, for not being strong enough to save him. Her violent crusade is penance, each kill an offering to his memory. What terrifies Harry most is recognizing the same darkness he's fought within himself, now consuming his apprentice. Harry's investigation leads him to homeless teenagers led by Fitz, who attacked Murphy's house under orders from someone named Aristides. The real threat emerges when Harry discovers Mortimer Lindquist has been kidnapped by the Gray Ghost, a powerful entity commanding an army of wraiths. Following a parade of over 450 wraiths through steel doors, Harry tracks them to an abandoned tunnel beneath the Eisenhower Expressway. The shocking truth? The gray ghost is the Corpse Taker, a necromancer Harry had previously killed, now returned through her body-hopping abilities. She targeted Mort because his magical capacity can support the weight of her talent. She needs his willing consent for the transfer, which has bought time until dawn. If she possesses Mort, she'll regain her powers and immediately target Molly for revenge. In a desperate gambit, Harry draws on memories of physical sensation to cast a simple spell, B. For a moment, he manifests physically, feeling cold raise goose flesh on his skin. Despite the pain, having a body again feels amazing as he fights to free Mort. During the battle against the Corpse Taker possessing Butters' body, Harry recovers shocking repressed memories. After breaking his back in an apartment fire, he'd made a deal with Mab to become Winter Knight to save his daughter. Fearing he'd eventually become a monster serving the Winter Queen, Harry had arranged his own death, hiring Kincaid to kill him after rescuing Maggie, with Molly erasing these memories afterward. This revelation transforms his murder into suicide, a desperate escape attempt from his bargain with Mab. Archangel Uriel appears, explaining Harry was returned because a fallen angel had whispered, "And it was all your fault, Harry," at his most vulnerable moment, pushing him toward suicide. This lie compromised his free will, requiring Uriel to intervene. Before returning Harry, Uriel shows him his brother Thomas, devastated by Harry's death, and takes him to Michael Carpenter's home, where Maggie lives with Mouse as her guardian. Seeing his child safe but fatherless brings Harry to tears. You're not a soul with a body. You are a soul. You have a body. Uriel's words echo as Harry awakens in a cave. Mab reveals she and Demon Reach preserved his body after he fell into the lake. He wasn't actually dead. For 77 days, Mab conducts physical therapy by trying to murder Harry. Burning beds, dropping cobras, releasing stinging ants. His rehabilitation follows a brutal pattern. Mornings recovering with Sarissa, afternoons surviving Mab's assassination attempts. On the final day, Harry blocks Mab's shotgun attack with magic and disarms her, delighting her with his violent response. In his chambers, he finds a dark silver tuxedo. The mirror reveals a leaner, harder version of himself, with long hair and pale skin, the Winter Knight reborn. Death wasn't Harry's end, but his transformation. He vows, "I will be the most terrifying knight the Cité courts have ever known, but I do it my way." In a world where death isn't permanent, our choices define us more than our power. Harry's journey shows our greatest battles are fought against the darkness within.